So welcome to another 2ADT podcast episode. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the magic number of 40-year-old midlife crisis moment.
I'm going to have to stop you there. So turning 40 and midlife crisis, I would say it's two different things.
Really?
But we're talking about it not because you're turning 40, that means that's midlife, but we could define that.
The American, you know, aspect is everybody believe 40 is midlife crisis. That's when you run into the midlife crisis. That's not necessarily true for Chinese people, but in the US, that's very well, you know, expected that when you hit 40, you start to feel that midlife crisis and you have to, redo your whole personality and whatnot.
I disagree, but let's kick off the episode, welcome our listeners. And talk about turning 40, and on a side topic, we talk about midlife crisis. So you, Andrew, you and I, obviously we are over 40. We're in our early.
So when you say over 40, it makes us sound like mid 40s or late 40s. We're not. We barely hit 40. Let's make that clear to everybody who's listening.
Having recently turned 40,
there you go.
Both you and I. I think it's fair that we could, since we, live on this earth for 40 years, make an assessment of where we are, right? So how do you assess turning 40?
Turning 40 actually didn't hit me that hard. What really hit me hard was actually noticing how old my nieces and nephews were. Because the reason being that when I was their age, when I was in grade school, right, grade school and heading into junior high, so 6th, 7th grade, I specifically remember myself looking to my parents and thinking, wow, we're so different. I'm just a kid and running around doing what I want. They had to, work. They had to teach us things. They basically ran from one country to another trying to make a better life. And now they're passing that knowledge back on to me, and it's my job as a kid to learn as much as I can. And then when I had nieces and nephews who hit that age, 6th grade, 7th grade, a couple of them are at that age now, and I look to them and I think, I'm at that age where I thought of my parents as adults, but I don't really feel any different in that my personality, my likes and dislikes haven't changed. All that much ever since I was that age, ever since I was that kid up to now. I still like the same things pretty much. My personality is pretty much still the same.
So let me ask you, what makes you have that realization? Is it you one day realizing you have to pass on certain knowledge to your nephew and nieces, or is it at the point when they suddenly raise a question that would have been a question, or that would be a question that you'd be asking when you were at their age?
It's that they're starting to ask, once they hit that age, you start to have more questions to ask, not just about academic questions, but life questions, It was especially, I remember a specific question my nephew asked me. He's in the 5th grade, probably.
Okay.
He asked me, is God real? Because in school, they were starting to read like the Bible mm-hmm. as part of the curriculum, the studies, the stories of Jesus Christ and all that. And he asked me, is God real? And if it was an adult who asked me, I would have immediately said, no, man, of course not. That's just, some junk, it's a mythology they made up. But then because it's him, I didn't want to immediately shut it down, but I didn't want him to just believe it for no reason either. So I had to make this big roundabout explanation about how some people believe he's real, some people believe it's not. It's a religion, and what does religion mean? And it started this whole conversation. And eventually, midway through the conversation, I just said, when you get older, I'll explain more.
So just for our listeners out there, neither one of us believe in God.
Right, we're not religious in any way.
Yeah, yeah. So although we do respect different type of religions out there, this is not anything about religious. It just so happened to be the topic, which actually my son, who's in 4th grade, has asked the same question, recently as well. And I basically went through the same same spiral where say, hey, look, you know, depending who you ask and you know, something that you understand more when you get older, that was the general response. Right. But it's interesting that you have that type of view where you know, it didn't really hit you. For me personally, turning 40, as something that I think I didn't want to do, not didn't want, like something that I refused to accept to certain level. So, and I'll give you, so going through the, let's say, and I don't know when I start doing this, probably mid 20s to late 30s, I would have these very ambitious goal,
right,
and try to do some stuff. Every year I would say, like, this is what I want to do, and I have like a certain vision of me when I'm turning 40. When I'm actually in my late 30s, knowing that I'll be turning 40 in a couple of years, I look back at this vision of me, how I would be like. I'm nowhere close to how I envision myself to be at 40. So I start, it become a bit numb, and I just put that aside and basically not really want to think about it. Now that I have passed 40, it's sort of, I face reality, accept the fact that, well, okay, I'm not gonna be that 40-year-old that I thought I will be when I was 20. So I accept the fact of who I am today. Right. And then just like make it sort of the best out of that, going forward.
And that's interesting. I mean, I think that I feel the same way, in that everything I envision kind of skewed out, right? And then didn't really follow the same path. But here's the question though. Did you notice that change, or notice that you weren't hitting whatever goals that you set? Was it because you kind of gave up along the way, or was it that reality is just so much different from what you thought? Here's what I mean by that, right? Here's an example. Something very simple. When I was in high school, like beginning of high school, and I was looking forward to getting my license and getting a car, my number one thought when I was wanted to get a car was to get a Jeep. Because I wanted to, I saw myself getting into the Jeep and just going everywhere, traveling, to like driving up to the hills, driving up to the mountains, down to the beach, and just having a lot of fun in that vehicle. And to me, that was, you know, what I wanted to do during my you know, later years after I get my license. In reality, eventually when I actually, you know, got my license and drove a car and then bought a car,
you had like a sedan.
Yeah. It was a sedan. It was a four-door sedan, very practical Camry sedan.
Yep.
Right? To drive around just to go to work for part-time jobs, or go to interviews for course classes and different universities. So, and when I bought the car, I didn't even think back to when I wanted a Jeep. It just was automatically, oh, I have to choose a car to do something. And I just went the practical route and just chose that. It didn't even occur to me that my dream was to get a Jeep to have more fun.
All right.
And I think most of the decisions I've had since then are like on the same way, where I didn't even think about, you know, what I really wanted or what I wanted when I was younger. It was just, oh, this is the practical choice, and I just chose it.
Right. And I think that's probably built into our DNA, right? So how you're growing up with, you know, it's like your environment sort of shape you. You know, obviously, at that time, practicality is probably more important.
Right.
Now. Had let's say your parents been, you know, a billionaire, you might think differently.
I would have chosen something different.
Right.
I would have taken more seriously the things I chose or wanted to choose when I was younger.
Right. Yeah. So. And I think we were went off tangent there. Maybe that's a good topic on you know, going up the expectation. But I do remember turning 40. Time passed really fast. Especially from the 30 to the 40, that 10-year gap passed, at least for me, really fast. And I find that, you know, and also because I'm busy with family and work and everything, but things went, like if I would think about my life, look back, I would remember more about my childhood, teenager year, you know, years that we spent together, years maybe in college, maybe the first, second year of my career, but that's it. You know, it's just, you know, obviously getting married, having kids, that's a big part of it. But majority of it was, you know, the point up to me going to work, is mostly...
It's a lump, right? It's like a lump together. I feel the same way. There was just a portion of time, especially in your beginning 30s, when you start your career. But then once you start your career, everything is related to that job.
Yes,
right? Yes. Going in and out, your travels are related to that job. The people you meet is for that job. Everything you do, in our careers, we bring our work home too. So it doesn't stop.
I blame on today's technology. we're going off tangent again, but I really think that we are, today's technology, we're overworked and we don't have a good work-life balance.
And that's the thing. There is no work-life balance. There was none, at least in your industry, there was none. And in what I do, there was none. So that, I think that's the problem, is when everything was just centered around your job for those years in the 30s, it just blurs. You don't remember it because it's all the same thing you're doing for work, nothing new. I was reading this article a while back that one of the reasons that time seems to flow faster as we get older is because there are no new activities. When we're young, everything's new. So everything makes a memory, everything makes an impression. Versus when you work, you go in, clock in, do whatever you don't want to do, then clock out. It's the same thing every day. I mean, the task itself might change, but you're doing work for like a good 10 years.
So you're saying our conscious mind just automatically shut that off. It's not important. It's something that's not very monotonous, routine. Not important.
Don't remember. There's no point in creating new memories for that because it's the same crap every day. So you just do that over and over again. So that's one of the main reasons it blurs out and we don't remember specifics about our
So So are you saying between my 30 and 40, I'm doing very boring stuff?
Yes. And I think that's true for me and for most people, which is why suddenly, you know, getting that midlife crisis thing, you hit 40 and you realize the past 10 years has been a blur. You realize there's been nothing you remember or that is, you know, important. And so you suddenly panic and it's like, oh my God, what have I been doing the past 10 years?
Then you go out, buy a new car, a nice watch.
And you kind of mix something of that.
Okay, so you know, when you realize, oh my gosh, you know, I'm turning 40, half my life is gone. Do you rethink about your life plan? Do we reset goal? Do we reset? Or do we just, you know, go out and do something crazy?
I think that's the knee-jerk reaction everybody has, which is why in the US everybody thinks it's a midlife crisis. Because your reaction is, oh, I need to completely change my life around. I think as far as I'm concerned though, I think my reaction not is so much completely change my life around, but look back to what I really wanted when I was younger. You know, when I was younger, am I doing the kind of, you know, am I having the career I wanted when I was younger? Am I wearing the clothes or meeting the people or, you know, driving the car I wanted when I was younger? And I would just think back and make that comparison and think, you know, I'm not, and maybe I should be. So it's that whole,
so again, you're questioning yourself, you're doubting yourself,
right?
You know, and so much of it is true for me too, because I think, you know, both of us when we're young, I feel like, maybe especially for me, I feel like, you know, I am the, you know, the bomb, right? I walk in the room, even though not in show off manner, but I walk in the room, I am, if not the smartest guy, I know I'm not the smartest guy, but I'm a meaningful person. I have meaningful value to whatever's happening around me. And I think we're high of me and they expect a lot of me. So growing up, you know, just, I have this vision, like I said earlier, of me being a certain spot. I don't necessarily know exactly what I am, but it would be something that's important, right? And now that you realize, you know, at that point, you're not.
And that's all, I think, part of the issue as well. We always, because when we're young, we look at it, everything is an opportunity. I can do that. I can learn this. Right. I can do this. There's no there's no concrete plan, right? When I think,
that's
when
true.
I was young,
absolutely true.
Yeah, when I was young, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do something great. What is that something good? I don't know, but it's something.
Right.
Which it's difficult if you don't really know what it is, if you don't have it all mapped out exactly and know exactly what you're heading for, you're not going to hit that target. And we didn't.
Right. So let me ask you, do you have, obviously we don't have meeting map to detail, but do you have really has a target?
I don't think I did. And that was the issue.
So here, for me, I have a sense of what, so even growing up, I don't know, maybe in teenager year, I know exactly what I want to do. I want to be in business. And I want to be successful in business, finance, in that area. So that's why I pursued a career that I am today, where I am today. But I want to be a successful businessman. In what field?
But what does that mean though?
So there's no clear definition, but I know that's the area I want to be in, but I don't necessarily know what to go after. And this could be, I'm not going to say, I'm very fortunate to be where I am today, but just not enough guidance to.
And I think that's just it. I mean, I can say the same thing that, I wanted to be successful in business, but being successful in business doesn't actually mean anything.
Right. Unless unless someone sat down and tell you, this is, help you break that down
right
into phases. Okay, what do you mean by that? What do you like to do? Here are the areas, and so I provide some guidance
right
where you could just go after, and instead of trying to, me obviously landing my first job at a big accounting firm is great, but I have no clue. I didn't know things would turn out the way it is.
Just right.
It just a good firm to go into. Everyone wants to go after it, and I happen to be lucky enough to land to it. So
yeah, there's no like. If we had said instead, not being successful in business, but let's say I want to be a great, I want to be able to sell, I don't know what, I want to be sell cars
right
and be the best at selling cars and own a bunch of car manufacturing factories. That's specific and we can go for that. But when you say, I want to be successful in business, there's such a large variety.
Well, I didn't know at that time, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, we didn't know. And I wonder if that's mainly because is that an issue that first generation immigrants have? Well, our parents are so, involved in trying to stay alive, and make
provide food on the table. Not necessarily stay alive, but provide food on the table and shelter.
Right. To even just survive well in a brand new country with no knowledge of the language and whatnot. So they're not able to give us any guidance. Because we're first generation, we don't really have any older siblings who've gone through it ahead of time who give us, any ideas. So a lot of things, going through school, going through work, all of that.
Learn as you go.
Yeah, learn as you go. And the problem is, I look back and I thought, oh, there's so many missed opportunities I wish I could have taken, advantage of.
Right. Well, I mean, success is, 70% hard work, 30% luck. So, going back to the question that I asked you, is there any life plan? So for me personally, as I mentioned earlier, when probably my late 30s into when I turned 40, I just numb it out. But after I turned 40, when I step back and think about, okay, half my life has passed me, assuming I live up to 80, lucky enough to do that. In the first 40 years of my life, I've always thought, in aggressive term, right? Very aggressive, like, I want to do this. Sky is the limit. I could do just about anything. But once I turned 40, at that point, my mentality has changed, right? I think about, okay, and it's also part of acceptance too. Accept who you are, accept right what you've been through, and accept the fact that I'm not going to be the next Bill Gates, or I'm not going to be the next Jeff Bezos. It's just, it's slim chance. My thought process has been really more sort of towards conservative, and I was thinking, so the second half of my life, what do I need, right? What do I need to be happy? I mean, I'm not after, I wouldn't say fame, but I'm not after success. I'm after what would make me happy. And my uncle told me that, generally when you retire, you need three things. And this is actually in Chinese, and I'll do my best to translate this. So he said, when you retire, you need basically 3-0. So it's in Chinese, it's lo bun, and lo yao. So what that means is that it's 3-0, right? It's just Low board means, you know, financial stability, your wealth, you know, you have some sort of, you know, capability to live on nest egg without others support you. You need to have a low bone means your significant other, you know, to sidewalk through the rest of your life, someone right. to share ideas, someone to, you know, enjoy, you know, each other's company. And then the last one is low yao means friends, you know, right. besides right. your significant other, your friends, you know, you just talk about, you know, like us talking about our past. And when I was thinking about what he said to versus what, when I'm going through that thinking process after I turned 40, and I, so I, you know, it really gears toward, you know, instead of, okay, what should I do to catch up to my career or to advance to the next level? I really saw it, my thinking shifted gear to think, what do I need to do to, you know, live a happier rest of my life? And I started thinking from that perspective, you know, my significant other, my friends, you know, the nest egg that I've saved will allow me to, so I live through the rest of my life. So that was, you know, when I was thinking about, planning, that was my thought process. Have I figured it out? Not really. what I want to do, I don't know. I still don't know, right? I mean, I'm still sort of like, it's been a little while, but I'm still trying to figure out, okay, well, I definitely need to sort of think towards that direction, but how to get there, I don't really know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I think my reflection is a little bit different in that I really am going back to, you know, when I was younger, what did I really want, and see if I can pursue those things. Like it's not so much about the career anymore. It's more like, what did I really enjoy doing? I remember when I was in grade school, a couple of friends and I would sit out of recess, like just leave recess alone and start writing our own stories, you know, to be a published writer. We thought we were going to be published writers.
Wait, this is in elementary school?
This is in elementary school. We thought we were going to be published writers before we hit 18, that we're going to be such just famous authors throughout the world. And we gave up our recess to do that.
which is big.
Yeah, which is very big when you were, you know, 10 years old, yeah. 11 years old. But the thing is, I don't know what happened, but after grade school, we just kind of gave up on that all of a sudden. I don't know if it's because we realized we weren't as good writers as we thought, or maybe we thought, you know, we heard too many stories about starving artists and most writers don't right. make it, and you're not going to make much money, so you need to pick something that's more practical. And I think that was the thing that I'm thinking more and more about now when I cross over that 40 line is practical versus passion.
Right. So it's fair to say that you and I have already you know, thought about, you know, our life once we pass that quote unquote midlife point. How about worries? I mean, do you see yourself now that, you know, whether we come to realization about, you know, accepting who we are, you know, where we are in life, do you see different type of worries, different type of challenge that you didn't think was, wow, there's no way I'll be in that position, or there's no way I'll be worrying about that?
Yeah, absolutely, right? Especially for me. you know this, but most of our listeners don't know this, but I have major health issues right now.
Which, you know, if you look at him, you see him as a normal person, but...
Right. One of the problems is visually, I'm fine. I look like a normal 40-year-old guy. I even look younger than I 40, I think.
You personally. Look slimmer than I know you a couple years back.
But, you know, I'm actually on dialysis, you know, kidney issues. So I go to dialysis like 3 times a week.
Just to clarify, you don't smoke,
I don't smoke, I don't even drink. Yeah. I've never even had a drink in my life. You know this, Derek. Yeah. I don't drink alcohol, I don't smoke anything.
Party pooper, okay.
And yet I ended up with kidney issues. So, you know, obviously when I was younger, did I anticipate my health would be so bad? No way. I think health was actually one of the things I didn't worry about growing up. Because, you know, both my parents didn't really have much, you know, issues at all. My grandmother's still alive and kicking. My grandfather died, in his probably 70s. But again, I didn't expect any health issues. I've always felt pretty healthy, no real symptoms, nothing going on. But then, boom, you know, when was it? It was actually a good 10 years ago, almost, when I was first diagnosed.
Wow.
Yeah. With,
has it been?
Yeah.
You're still alive today.
Yeah, when I was first diagnosed with this kidney issue, it was about 10 years ago, probably even more, actually, now that I think about it. But yeah, and so even then, when I was diagnosed, and 10 years ago, I was about, you know, early 30s, so I knew that my kidney had issues, but I didn't feel it, and I didn't really think much of it, even though the doctor told me it was a big deal, and that eventually, you know, I would need dialysis or a transplant, but it didn't hit me, because I was still outgoing, I was still traveling, I was still working. You know, life was exactly the same as it was, other than I had to go in and check in with the doctor and take a couple pills. It wasn't until I hit 40, right about the same time I was actually on dialysis. I was about probably 39 when I was on dialysis. So right 40, that 40 age, and then I hit dialysis. All of a sudden, I can't travel anymore. I get tired extremely easily. And I'm always worried if I eat something wrong, I'm always continually worried that something else is going to happen. If I catch a cold, I think I'm just going to end up in the hospital. So that health is that health issue thing is just completely the flip of what I anticipated. And I had to kind of redo my life to live around that, to live with that. So yeah, I definitely didn't anticipate that, but I'm living with it, and it is what it is. I think the issue that really hit me is when I had these health issues, the first person I thought of was actually my mom. I was actually starting to be concerned that if I'm, you know, I'm barely 40 and I'm having all these health issues, I wonder if she's actually okay and you know, maybe she has something that she has to deal with. I check in with her, obviously, you know, and make sure her health is fine. And she's fine, you know, for
technically
somebody,
healthier than
yeah,
you.
technically very healthy compared to me, but it makes me wonder, like, you know, about the health of not just my parents now, but also my siblings. And then I look towards my nieces and nephews and I get worried about them. So I think the worry has shifted. You know, when I was young, most of the focus is on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, what's my goal in life? What am I gonna do? What's my health in life? And everything's just me. Now it's more like, you know, are my parents' health okay? Or you know, my brother's health okay? My wife's health? I mean, every time I see my wife, she's healthy, but every time she complains of a headache or something, I immediately get worried that it's something, you know, much more major. So
she's not related to you, so there's just, you can rest assured that it's not genetic.
It's not anything, but anytime she brings up anything that, you know, she has a cold, and I suddenly get worried that it's something even worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, yeah, obviously I'm very fortunate I'm not dealing with the situation that you're dealing with. But yeah, so, you know, things are a lot different now versus even 10 years ago. First of all, I have two kids, right? You know, right. I worry about them. You know, this morning I was in the school talking to the teacher for my younger kid, you know. So the type of worry definitely has shifted. I didn't expect to have, you know, I always hear, like, being a parent, you know, there's a saying that, I forgot how the saying goes, but essentially what it means is that, you know, you raise a kid, but you worry for the 99 years, something like that.
Right.
But because you worry for them for the rest of their life. I didn't, you know, I know that would be a process I go through, but now having been real parents, I now realize, yes, it is something that you think about constantly. And that was the biggest difference that I didn't think about when I was younger, which is, like, you know, much like you, I was like, you know, me, like, what do I do? What would get me to the next step, or how I would, or find the prettiest girl, the girl that I would have fun with, or a career, or something, you know, hang out the best spot, find a good spot, you know, hang out with friends, you know, or not being able to do that is a worry for me. Versus now, I feel like the worries that I had when I was in 20 are so meaningless compared to today. You know, because I think to a certain extent, the worries that I had it back at the time, you could somewhat control it.
Right.
Okay, well, you can have fun here, you can have fun there. But today's worry, you can't really control. It's not, and it's not like, it's not something that's solvable. It's not something that, oh, money could solve, or you know, certain things could substitute to it. Like, you know, when your parents, my parents' health are deteriorating, and you know, something that's really out of your control, part of being aging, part of getting old, you know, how your kids, you know, interact, and if your kids are great kids, great. If your kids are having issues, you know, I have two kids, you know, I always say it's opposite spectrum. One is a pretty good kid, one is a kid that gives me a lot of headache. So that type of worry is, you know, you do your best to mitigate it, but it's another level is not controllable to it, from what I think.
And I think that type of worry is constant, and it will be there
till I die.
Yeah, exactly. So versus our 20s, you know, hey, you worry about the job, either you get that promotion or you don't. And if you don't, you just try another route.
Yeah, and now thinking back at it, you know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I remember, I don't know if you remember, I had a short relationship with a girl.
I remember.
Okay. Dude, so it was probably, I think, second one or the third relationship. And I do not know why, but looking back at it, I feel like, you know, at that time, I feel like it's the end of the world, right? It's not even, that was not my first relationship. It was like a second one, maybe somewhat of a rebound. But when that relationship ended, I feel like, gosh, the world is crumbling. You know, this is not worth, you know, everything is falling apart. My life is going to hell.
Right, right.
But rewind and look back, I was like, gosh, that was so dumb. you know, it doesn't mean anything. It was just like, you know, different personality. It's not meant to be. It's just, you know.
Yeah, it's just like the impact is so much less when you think back about it. And everything else seems much more important. And I wonder about that. I wonder if by the time we reach 80, if we reach 80, will we think back to all the worries we have now and wonder, are we being overly dramatic now? Will things change? Will I have a whole new set of worries, a new, whole new profound set of items I'm thinking about, rather than, you know, worrying about, you know, are my kids gonna be okay and stuff.
I imagine at that time you're probably at the, you know, twilight of the year. You probably worry about when you're gonna, you know, yeah. I guess like die and
that's the question though.
It's right?
Like, do your worries change every decade or so, and then eventually you reach a point where you think all the previous worry, or we're at this point where you're at your 40s and these same worries will carry through until you're 80 or 100.
Probably not likely. I mean, I guess I would say now, I think we're all like in the next decade, we'll have a new set of worries. And I think today's worries, some will carry till that time, like worrying about your loved ones. Right. I think that.
Yeah, that'll stick with us right. Forever.
Exactly, and I don't think that would go away. And I think when we're younger, we don't have that. We're not adult yet, right? We don't have loved ones that we need to care for because we're being taken care of.
Right.
We're being the one to care for, rather than to care for someone else or being taken care of. I think when we get to sort of 50, 60, we'll have that, you know, about worry about our nephew, nieces, kids. I mean, if lucky enough, still worry about our parents, but at the same time, we will have additional worry. I think, you know, it potentially, you know, I wouldn't say like, to me right now at this standpoint, I don't care much about death.
It's not realistic yet. Even though my health is really bad, to me, it's actually still not realistic.
I would think that you would probably think the other way.
I mean, I you would think so, but I still don't see death as a coming problem that, right, I have to face yet.
See, I don't see that as something that I worry about. But I also don't see me worrying about my kids when I was in my 20s. Kids, man, they'll grow up the way they are. Yeah, I'll take care of them, no worries.
Yeah, we did it once, why can't they?
Right, exactly. So that was not a worry, but now I see that as something that is something that I need to face today. Now, the question is that when we get to 60, we're saying with our mentality or our mind change, it's like, oh gosh, I'm gonna die, you know?
Yeah, it may be, I don't know. But you know what, we're getting close to that. Let's say you are facing death. Let's give a pearl of wisdom from your 48th, 40 years now. We're gonna tell the next generation.
I think we're too young to answer that question. But you know, I think today, and then maybe the question to ask is like, look, we've been through, call it half of our life. Based on what we did, how would we like to see ourselves live the rest of our life? How would we see what we've been through shape the rest of our life? I think that's a more fair question. And I think from that standpoint, I would say that, and I started looking at this, going back to what I said earlier, try ways that I could be, happy and be active, right? I started thinking about retirement. So when I retire, what do I want to do? And I know we're going to talk about retirement in a separate episode, but I think what I want to do is I obviously, there's just many aspects, right? And a big part of it today is my career. I spend a lot of time at work. Not necessarily, I like work, but that's actually not my passion.
Right.
So what I like to do, obviously family is a big part of my life. Family will stay the way it is, and I like to sort of nourish that and grow that. But I also like to sort of minimize the career and grow the passion side of my life.
Yeah.
Really, because and part of accepting life and accepting who I am, I sort of accepted the fact that, believe it or not, my career sort of hits a plateau. Unless something happened, unless I make some change, or unless, don't get me wrong, I still take my work very seriously and do what I can, do more than what I need to do. But there's certain point as anybody's career where you feel like maybe this is plateau, you need to do something else sort of to elevate to the next level. Opportunity may come, may not come, whatever the case is. I'm not gonna try so hard to advance that part of my life. I'm gonna spend more time exploring and discovering sort of passions in my life, right? And part of this, part of us trying to, me having, initiating this podcast is just to explore that other side where I could actually be active doing while later on in my life. I could imagine myself sitting here having a conversation with you 10 years down the line, and if we're successful and this is well received, continue to have conversation that people want to hear. I could actually see myself doing that and enjoy doing that.
And that's the key, and seeing yourself enjoying it.
Right, and versus me, this morning sitting in my office in front of my computer, reading an email, responding to the client. I really, don't get me wrong, it's a good job, it takes care of me, but that's not what I really want to do.
Exactly.
Right, so my goal, and I don't know, right? My goal in the next couple of years is to really explore, what I can do. And I feel like I'm in a position that where I could, so I do more of these side things, try it out to see if I like it, to see if it's successful. Right? I'm not gonna hung up on it if it doesn't work out, right? So,
Yeah, and I think that's actually good advice for, whether you're 40, 20 or whatnot. It's just exploring those passions, to find out what you really enjoy doing and focusing on that.
Right. So just to be clear, right? Exploring passion. I'm fortunate enough where I could. I mean, I still have a job that I need. There's bills that needs to be paid.
That's the thing, though. That's right. That balance. It's like there's the practical side of life, and then there's exploring passion. Maybe we didn't explore enough, mainly because we were focusing on making a living, getting that job.
Well, see, that's the thing, right? And I think this could be this, and this is probably how everything links together. And then this conversation that we're having. Look, first generation immigrant is very different in a sense that our focus are very practical, you know. Right. You focus on yourself, I focus on myself, but at the end of the day, we're focused on how to make the best of ourselves so we are positioned to provide for a loved one. To a certain extent, I think we are, you know, thinking about that, right? You're trying to be an author, make a lot of money, you know, so you could provide financial stability. I want to become a successful business person. Definitely from that perspective, where I could provide some sort of financial stability around people around me. Because we both see the challenges that our parents has been through, and we definitely don't want to go through that for the next generation.
Right.
First generation immigrant, I think we're more practical from that standpoint. If we look at my son and your nephew and nieces, they're probably discovering, right?
Yeah, they're trying all sorts of things, and I think it's a good thing. You know, they're taking more interest in different areas. I mean, they're taking art classes, they're taking, you know, this is outside of school, they're taking art classes, they're taking music classes, they're taking writing and speaking, robotics, and, you know, just to explore everything that they possibly could. And I want them to explore that, and I'm glad that they're exploring it. You know, and maybe that's the sacrifice first generation makes, that we're stuck with the practical side first. And then when we get older, when we have an opportunity, then we look back and see what are we really passionate about and see if we can stuff some of that into our later, you know, later years of our lives, and which is basically what we're doing. And which is, I think is fine. If it enables an opportunity for my nieces and nephew for the next generation to be able to do that earlier than we did, I say, okay, great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And the other thing to know is that I think you and I are both very fortunate where we're in this position. I know a lot of first generation immigrants that are still in a position where they're trying to provide good shelters and food on the table for their family. I think we're the lucky ones. There are definitely a large group of first generation immigrants who might have to wait to the second generation to be more, I guess, well off, being able to have their next generation to explore. Because part of, you know, what we talked about earlier is when you're young, you think, you know, sky's the limit. That's because we haven't seen the entire sky yet.
Yeah.
You figure like that, you know, that's the goal, and not to our fault or not to our parents' fault. It just, we're not exposed to that.
We don't have the resources. We were limited in understanding how big the sky actually is, what opportunities are actually out there. So yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. So it's a interesting conversation. I think we touched on a lot of stuff, from being young to, to going through career change, to family, to your health, to death, and circle back on the first generation. I think is to tie this up. As we turn 40, you know, when we look back, a lot has to do with, you know, our past and our experience, but a lot has to do with, you know, I guess what we've been through. And, you know, for us, 40 was a turning point. From a perspective of thinking back what we've been through and where we want to go, and I think we certainly don't need to wait to 30 to do that. We should probably be doing that more often. But you know, I think for us, that's a good sort of review on what we've done, and hopefully we would position ourselves for a better half or more than better half of our life.
Yeah, and I think everybody has to go through that. Everybody has to take a little perspective and then look back. Hopefully we're not looking back in the 50s and wondering the same issues. Maybe it'll be different by then.
If we're still having a conversation at that time about the same thing, I would be very disappointed.
Yeah, that would be an issue. But hopefully we won't. Let's be optimistic about it.
Okay. Well, time's up. Thank you for joining us. Again, we appreciate your time, and hopefully you find this conversation interesting. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any thoughts, please do share with us.
Yeah, once again, you know, just hit our website, 280t.com. Plenty of feedback welcome.
Have a good one.
Take care.